For country Australians, the image of losing one sheep doesn't really carry a lot of weight. If they said 10 sheep, it would get our attention. If it said 100 sheep, you've really got our attention if we lost 100 sheep. That would be the gravity that would be comparable to what Jesus is talking about in this story of the lost sheep. The other image that Jesus uses is a woman who loses a drachma. Now, a drachma is the old Greek currency. A drachma is, it means a handful. When they put their hand into a tub of grain and then they held their hand tight, the amount of grain that is in there is called a drachma, a handful. That's what it means. And that was then translated into silver, about 65 grams, which is one little coin. In modern currency, it's the equivalent to 19 cents. So once again, see, there you go, it means nothing. Like one sheep, oh yeah, who cares? But put the image at that time into its cultural context. So start with the people, not the things. The people in the story, in the gospel, are the tax collectors and sinners, on one hand, are seeking the company of Jesus. On the other hand, you've got the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the community. The religious leaders, more often than not, are the ones who have created the minorities, the outcasts, symbolised by tax collectors and sinners. So these are the have-nots and these are the haves in their world. The have-nots include the shepherds. So Jesus uses the image of a shepherd. Shepherds were second-class citizens. They were considered extremely untrustworthy. You would never get a shepherd onto a jury in a court. Wouldn't happen. They were the lowest of the low. Next, we have a woman who was considered, for the main part, and treated like a second-class citizen. So Jesus picks out the people that are obvious in the audience that will stand for exactly everything that he, and everyone rather, that he has come to be with. And we can say save, but they never understood that at that particular time. So Jesus comes to the outcast, to the separated, to the downtrodden. That's who he comes to, that's why they're used. The image of the one sheep and the image of one coin, well, in some sense, it's a little bit incidental for us in Pierce in 2019. But the average farmer in Jesus' time, at most, we know, would have had only perhaps 40 sheep if they were considered to be reasonably well off. 40. So when he mentions 100, those sheep were owned or being looked after by the community. They belonged to the village, not to one individual. So one shepherd, second-class citizen, would stay and look after them while the other shepherd went off to find the one that was lost, because if the one that was lost, it would mean the whole community would come down on them. They were all going to be disadvantaged. The woman with the drachma, I mean, you may think it's nothing. Some of you probably walked over a 20-cent coin on the footpath as you came to Mass today, because it doesn't mean anything to us in Pierce that much. But to a second-class citizen who has nothing, if she loses what little she has, it means everything. And that's a bit hard for us to grasp. So let's look at the word loss or losing in a sense that Jesus is trying to portray to us today, something that is grave and serious. Start with this, for example, that in Australia, every year, 20,000 people are considered lost. They are missing persons. They become classified only after 3 months by the police register. So they're missing and then they're lost. 20,000. We have 2,000 people on the books in Australia who are considered completely lost. That means that for a long, long time, you're only lost or considered missing after 3 months. But these people have been missing for a long, long time. Now, if one of those people, those 2,000, is a relative of yours, a neighbour of yours, you will start to understand what Jesus is talking about when he talks about a lost sheep or a lost coin. They might appear to be things, but they are attached to a relationship. That's why the woman and the shepherd said, "Come and rejoice with me." It's about community. But people who have somebody missing in their life, there is nothing to rejoice about. They live with a constant pain because, for some mysterious reason, that relationship has completely changed and will only ever be restored to what it was once they have been found. And then there would be great rejoicing. That's what Jesus is talking about. So don't get confused by wool and by coins. Make sure that we understand or consolidate our understanding by the things of the heart, not the things that we can hold in our hand. We talk about losing all the time. For those of you who watched the football last night, it's unfortunate that some of you lost. And we do, and we can take it in a light-hearted way, but we also balance that out. Thanks be to God and his blessed mother that the Raiders won. But we talk about being in the traffic and losing our temper. The word lost is completely lost to us in our Western translation when we move away from what Jesus is talking about, which is the pain. Okay, so we use the language lose our temper, for example, but what we do is we just choose to behave badly. That's what we're choosing to do, rather than choosing to behave well. We choose to behave badly. We want to say, or soften it by saying, "I lost my temper." This time last year, I was entering the second week of my walk in the Camino across northern Spain. And most of you will probably know by now that it took me 2 years to prepare for that, trialling the right equipment for that 1,020 kilometres I walked, getting it all sorted. And then when I started on my first day, my luggage was lost. The airline lost it. Richard didn't lose it, but I did lose it up here for a while. But that didn't stop me from going ahead, because it was a thing. It wasn't a relationship of the heart. It was a thing. And so you manage those. We manage those things with wisdom. We talk about the loss of money, the GFC, the people who lost part of their superannuation. We use that language there. Once again, it's a thing. We lost our sheep, we lost a cow, horse in the paddock, fell in a hole or whatever, a well. But even animals, when they're lost, they make a noise, they cry out for help. But people don't always cry out for help when they're lost, because they're proud, they're embarrassed, they're confused when they are feeling lost. I'm not talking about missing people, because that opportunity has been taken from them. When we lose a friendship, particularly within a family, that's what we're starting to talk about here now. And I'm not talking about I've unfriended him from Facebook. When something fractures in a family and what was there is no longer there, that's when we're starting to get very close to what Jesus is talking about. That's why there is rejoicing. When that relationship is repaired. The little ones, symbolised by the tax collectors and the sinners, those little ones, the anawemas we call them, they were in one sense appearing to be lost, yet they found Jesus, they sought him out. Those who thought they knew everything about God and owned God could not even recognise that he was among them. They were truly lost. These who were treated as lost, they were found. And we need to be very careful on which side we're going to be on the winner's side or the loser's side. We need to be very careful. But that doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes in the course of our life, we do lose things. We pray to St. Anthony, don't we? We do. We lose things, and it is usually frustrating. We say lose, but they're missing. They're not lost in the biblical sense. We have misplaced them. They are not where I thought they were, that's all. And it's usually something to do with the timing of what we lose and the thing which what we lose. When we get home and I don't have my keys to get into the house. That doesn't mean they're lost, they're misplaced. In the Western world, they talk about when you go to hospital and I get called into accident and emergency and I anoint somebody. And then I stay with the family outside in the waiting room and then the doctor or the nurse comes out and says, oh, Father, we've lost him. Well, he was there 5 minutes ago. I just anointed him. So they soften the language of death by saying we've lost him, we've misplaced him. It doesn't make sense for a Christian. Christians don't get lost in death. Christians are found by God. That is so reassuring. Christians are found when death knocks at our door. We're not lost. And that's what makes us different, because we have faith and we have hope. People talk about losing their faith. I don't think we lose our faith. I think it gets stolen from us. You didn't lose it. It gets stolen from us by bad treatment, by bad behaviour. It also demonstrates, when people use that language, that there is a weakness in there, a very shallowness in some sense. People of faith are people of hope. They have a depth that sees beyond what is here and now. They see further. That's what Christians do. We may have a deceased person here, but we see the eternal life. Christians are great because they can always see the opposite view. We see ourselves as bad. God sees us as beautiful. That's why he loves us and gives us his son. But that doesn't bring back my car keys, does it? So to that end, I'd like to close with using an old prayer of St. Anthony. For those of you who may have lost someone you feel has moved out of your relationship world, you may have lost a thing. Let's place what we feel that the loss causes us hurt this morning. Let's place that before our God through the intercession of St. Anthony. I'll ask you to insert your loss in a minute as I pray this prayer with you. Anthony, glorious servant of God, famous for your merits and powerful miracles, help us to find what was lost. Insert your loss there. Give us your help in times of temptation and enlighten our minds in searching the will of God. Help us to find again the life of grace, which our sin destroyed, and lead us to the possession of the glory promised us by our Saviour. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.